All right. No Darren, no Ryan. Chris Chapman along with Lindsey Brown here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. We are out here at Sierra Gold getting you ready for the Golden Knights and the Seattle Kraken as you heard in that legal live from the Emerald City. I'll be setting myself up to take over for myself here in about an hour.
What a one-man band.
Yeah.
My God.
I know. Well, I'm glad I have you here to help guide me through these 2 hours.
For another hour.
Yeah.
You better soak me up.
Yeah, listen, I love when I have you on the show. I love doing shows with you because I feel like we have so much energy.
We do.
We get a really good vibe.
We usually have a plan, too, but we rarely stick to it.
Well, I'm trying, right?
You're leading today, which is typically, that's a little bit different than the dynamic we've had before. But
yes.
I like it. Yeah, I like the vibe.
Because I think you do such a great job as a lead.
Thank you.
I don't know.
It's
like,
very stressful.
I know. It really is. But fortunately, there's so much to talk about as we wind down here. Final 18 games for the Golden Knights. It's hard to believe.
Final 18 games.
It really did. I feel like the last time these two teams played was Winter Classic. That was January 1st. It seems like a lifetime ago.
Eons ago.
So much has happened in that time. Tomas Hertl is now a Golden Knight.
Anthony Mantha, who
you heard coming back for the previous break, talking about, you know, his first road trip as a member of the team. And, you know, it's got to be really, when I think about, the lifestyle. I went on the road this year for the first time for a significant amount of time in a few years. And I left on Sunday, came back on Saturday. I spent 6 nights in New York as I was there covering the Golden Knights. They played the Devils, Islanders, and the Rangers. And what I realized is it's tiring. And I didn't even have to play.
Right.
Right, just going back and forth, and fortunately, I wasn't in the same hotel for 5 nights, but I was there for 6 nights. I stayed 1 night down the Jersey Shore with some family. Went to this great pizza place, Pete and Elda's. I ate a whole pizza and got a T-shirt.
I don't know if that was from an outside thing trying to get in. I don't know. I don't put anything past the Jersey Shore.
I don't know if I should be bragging about the fact that I ate a whole pizza and got a T-shirt.
To be fair,
the pizza at Pete and Elda's, and we'll have to talk to Steve Cofield. I'm guessing because Steve Cofield, our co-worker, he of course is now on Cofield and Company.
He's all right.
He's a Jersey Shore guy.
Is he?
Yes. Me and him grew up about 25 minutes from each other. He's a little older than me.
That makes sense.
Yeah, he's pretty surly like me.
Yeah.
You know, good sense of humor, very dry, sarcastic. But notice how I patted myself on the back with my sense of humor.
But in terms of performing on the road and just being combobulated, right? Where's my shampoo and conditioner?
Right.
What if the underwear I wore ripped? I had a Josh Allen moment, but it wasn't in Paris, right? There's all these little things. And I know they get taken care of. They got people. They got runners. They're not going to CVS. Let's just say that.
Yeah, but if you're Anthony Mantha, you literally fly cross country.
Right. You're on the road for the rest of the season. That's essentially what it is. You're on a road trip for the rest of the year.
But he's got a wife
who
is pregnant, so he's juggling that, right?
She's juggling that, too, of just dealing with the stress and, like,
gotta find
moving.
A new, is she going back to D.C.
Right.
for the doctor visits?
Correct. Or can she go on a plane? There's so much. Partners, they go through so much.
When people think that hockey players, nothing – drives me more nuts than when people just think hockey players are not just hockey players, but athletes in general, they should be able to handle this. They deal with stuff just like you and I do. Listen, when my wife was pregnant with my only child, I was working in Idaho and she was here.
Right.
So it was extremely stressful. I was working for a minor league baseball team, and you know, it was difficult juggling me coming down here on off days, skipping road trips, not going to Casper, Wyoming. Because if you had to miss out on that trip, how could you miss out on such an experience? If there's a road trip to miss, it's the nine-hour bus ride from
the Taj Mahal visit. Yes, how do we choose?
Yes. But Anthony Mantha, along with Noah Hanifin, right, they're juggling because they both just got here.
Yeah.
Mantha, of course, was in Tampa when he got traded.
Washington. Oh, they were playing in Tampa.
What did I say? Hanifin. Hanifin was with the Flames in Tampa.
Right.
And, of course, there was speculation that he was going to get traded to the Lightning. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. But so he, I don't know, like, how that works. Like, does he have to at some point fly to Calgary to get his stuff and then turn around and fly right back?
I think it's called, I'm going to send you some money, or you got the card. And because when they're in season, this is the priority. Everything pales in comparison unless your partner's literally giving birth, and then we'll give you 4 hours, and then we expect you back here. And that's part of the responsibility, the commitment. I at every level, I think it's toxic to a degree to expect that from people. But I also was raised in that same culture. I was skipping all the important things to go to a practice on Tuesday night, and they're getting paid to do it. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But, at least when you're on the road, when you're playing, it's easier to gel with your teammates. At least that's what I've heard. Because you're just – things are a lot more simplified when you're on the road. You're with the team practically the whole time, unless you're out scattering about, and typically you're bringing a few of the buddies with you if you are going out to dinner. And so hopefully that kind of expedites some of that process. But it's certainly, you know, a unique challenge that a lot of players go through at some point in their career, that uncertainty, and then just having to pick up and move everything over and figure it out. You figure it out, you know, partner. Like, okay, as if I don't have my other stuff going on, but – that's the life they signed up for.
Yeah, I'm the dork who thinks about these things.
The human cost of business,
like,
correct.
What if I've got my favorite golf clubs up in Calgary?
What if you don't have your Mia Thermopolis hat? How are you going to get to the top level?
Right? Like, oh my gosh, I left my slippers. You know? Like things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure that's not a major concern for a guy like Noah Hanifin. But there's creature comforts, right? And if you're living in a hotel right now,
right,
there's certain aspects of that. Like, I had a career where I lived in a hotel, and it sucked.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, Golden Knights up in Seattle tonight get a key piece, and I would say key because I felt like Brett Howden was an integral part of their playoff run last year. Of course, he scored that goal in Winnipeg. I remember that because,
great goal.
You know, I think about the fact that Brett Howden in the playoffs had mentioned that he was in the stands as a kid watching the Golden Knights and the Winnipeg Jets when they met in that first round playoff series back in 2017-18. So his goal in Winnipeg, it was meaningful, not only for the Golden Knights, but for him. He's a Winnipeg guy. So he's joining the team tonight, and Bruce Cassidy talked to the media earlier today. He kind of mentioned where Brett is going to fit in. So let's take a listen to Bruce, and Ashley Weiss starts out with a great question.
How do you view this game, knowing that Seattle's going to be viewing it as a must-win?
Well, again, we're trying to build off what we did the other night. It's been a while for us since we've played good, consistent hockey, so that was a step in the right direction. So that's how I'm looking at it for us. Let's keep building off the things we did well the other night. I thought puck possession was good in the offensive zone. We were creating second and third chances. Resiliency, when we gave up a goal, we bounced back and able to get the game back going our way. I thought we had pretty good discipline for the most part. Going to clean a little bit of those stick fouls up. So that's how I'm looking at it. They have their motivation, and they got to keep up. So we know we're going to get their best.
What do you want the line to look like, Stevenson, Howden, and Mantha?
Well, I mean, the simplest thing is we're subbing in Mantha for Mark Stone, right? And they're two different players, but we're trying to get back to some of the chemistry we previously had. Jack's line had a real good night the other night. They were challenged, did a great job. You know, Nick's back with Coley, and Will's not that far off. So I'd like it to look like it used to. That's where Stevie's speed through the middle of the ice backs people off. How we get in the inside, get into the net. Mantha, you know, we're not sure what he's going to bring yet. He's relatively new to us, but we know he can finish plays and make plays. So he's got a little stone in him there where he can do both. And he's a big body that can get the net as well. So, and then they can forecheck, right? Howie's really good in that part. If they don't have ice, then, you know, they can put some pressure on the Deeks. You got speed on the line and you got size. So they should have two different ways they can create offense. So that's what I'd like to see.
Was that one of the better games you guys got to the interior last game?
I think so. I think we had more of a mindset of funneling, and being able to work inside. Some decors are more mobile than others. I'd put Detroit in that category. I think they're at their best. We saw it up there when they were joining the rush. Ozone blue line stuff. So we want to put the onus on, okay, you know, let's take that part of the game away from, let's make them defend us inside. So I think they were vulnerable to that, and we were able to do it. So that'll be the game plan for us every night, Nides, is kind of that. We have a big group of fours. We should be able to do it to most teams, force them to defend us. It's just, again, getting out there and doing it, right? And it's getting to be that time of year where I hope our guys are like, okay, this is just what's required now. Because it's harder hockey, right? I mean, it's just harder to play that way. So to do it 82 nights a year, well, we're kind of at the point where it's not 82 anymore, it's 18. And let's get it going so that it's the strength of our game.
It's good to have a little, like the players that are competing for work now, if you have another forward come back Thursday, there are NHL players that are now competing.
Yeah, I mean, we've used a lot of kids from, not say kids, because some of them are different from Henderson, have done a good job for us. But yes, it's guys that have been in the lineup for us and wearing an NHL sweater and a Golden Knights logo. And obviously, you know, Anthony's new to that, and Thomas will be when he joins us. But right now, Will Carrier's knocking on the door, Howie's back in, and Will's right around the corner. So someone has to come out. So yes, I think competition's good within the group. I think it makes the team better when you know that, hey, if I'm not up to par tonight, someone else can go in and take my spot. And these guys really like playing for one another, so I don't think anybody wants to come out.
Are you worried at all about chemistry?
Well, yes. I would say what I'm worried about is this team hasn't played as a full team in a long, long time. And now with, again, with Hurdle's return date unknown, who knows, you know, if we will. So, but that's why we're starting to try to form lines that are like Jack's line. Now that Jack's back, you see the chemistry develop very quickly for him the other night. We hope that happens with Nick Waugh's line when they're back together. Now Howie and Stevie played a lot of hockey together, so you hope it's kind of natural for them. And Mantha's going to have to work at it no matter what, he's because of newness. And then Carly and Amel have played a lot together with either Pav or Cotter. So I think it can happen, Gary, because of previous experience. It's just, you know, clock's ticking, right?
Is there something yourself, Bruce, to think about what your lineup would look like and piecing it together with Hurdle?
No, I haven't. I think when we made the trade, you go through some scenarios. But we knew he wouldn't be joining us for a while. How long, I don't know. But at the end of the day, he's a center that's played the wing, or, you know, so it's a luxury to have, to me, extra centermen in the lineup. Like when we're completely healthy last year and Howie could take draws and coming out of a penalty kill or if something happened, it was always, I thought, a good thing for us. So that'll be the benefit. But where he goes, I don't know yet.
Is there something you notice about Dorothy during practice that allows him to come in and seems like he's able to finish every
well,
time?
Well, yeah, you know what? He skated a lot. He just had to do it on his own for a while until, like, you know, you got to check those boxes. So he was on the ice a lot. And he was probably sick of being out there by himself, to be quite honest. So good to see him back in. I just think he's got good hands. Guys that have hands tend to be able to acclimate quicker in terms of their shaking off the rust with their, you know, their puck skills. So we'll see how it goes tonight.
Yep. That was Bruce Cassidy with the media up in Seattle earlier today. And, you know, what I took away from that, Lindsay, was listening to Bruce, and obviously getting Brett Howden back is a huge thing for the Golden Knights. But Gary Lawless asked the question about guys competing for jobs now are NHL players. Mm-hmm. And no disrespect to Sheldon Rempel, Byron Fraze, Mason Morelli, Jonas Rombier, Brendan Brisson, but the guys you're starting to get back now are Stanley Cup champion players, mm-hmm. guys who have been through those battles, guys who know what it takes to win the biggest prize in the sport. And I think guys like Morelli, Brisson, Fraze, Rempel, Rombier, they played well, mm-hmm. considering that majority of their careers have been spent in the AHL. Now you're getting Brett Howden back. You're getting William Carrier back. You just got back Pavel Durafeyev over the weekend. So that's a huge thing for this team to get back not only good players, but players who have won. And I think Brett Howden comes back tonight. Mm-hmm. He slots in next to Stevenson. William Carrier will come back on maybe Thursday, we're hoping, up in Calgary. He'll slot in his spot on the fourth line. But this is a good problem for the Golden Knights to have now, because now you've got Paul Cotter fighting for a spot. Pavel Durafeyev will fight for a spot. Michael Amadio.
I don't know if he's fighting for a spot. He's been playing damn well.
Well, but that's just it, because you...
Yeah, you got to push each other.
That's it. And Bruce mentioned these guys play hard for each other. And... Mm-hmm.
And against each other.
Yes, that too. And mm-hmm. If you're Pavel Durafeyev, if you're Paul Cotter, you have to look at this and say, you know what? My opportunity here is going to depend on me outplaying a guy like Michael Amadio, outplaying a guy like Brett Howden, outplaying William Carrier. Like, you look,
you're odd man out. You have to have the perception that you're on the outside looking in, because you can't see it really any other way. That's how it was last season.
Right. And and for Pavel Dorofeev, especially, he's not a fourth-line player. I don't think you put him on the fourth line. You keep him in that second or third line. You play him with either Stevenson or Carlson, because you know that he's got the ability to get to the net and put the puck in the net. He's got 8 goals in 30 games this year. Really good numbers for a guy who's just starting his NHL career.
Right.
But Paul Connor, a guy who could play the fourth line. He's I would make the case that Connor is a little more versatile than Dorofeev, but I feel like Dorofeev is a little more polished as a goal scorer. So for Bruce Cassidy, it's a really good problem to have, because you can kind of interchange those guys based on the challenge that's in front of you on a given night.
Absolutely. And just his urgency to kind of move back to some of the comfortable line combinations and getting that going. Like, this team hasn't had a lot of generators going on. And usually, like, you can have individual generators, or you can kind of put the team on your back, individual performances, or kind of like what we've seen from Marshy this year, where it just seems like every time they need something, he's the one that's probably going to get it. If it's not him, who else is going to be? But we know what the fourth line means to this team.
It's their identity.
It's their identity. And it's been that way for years. And that's really kind of one of the big parts of the formula for a championship caliber team, is that you have to be able to impose your will in the lower lines. You can't just not be a minus. You have to be spending time in their defensive zone. And that's where talks about the forecheck with Brett Howden, with Anthony Mantha, with so many different people on this team, and that's really one of the big stones to really either put back in to stabilize the pyramid, or maybe it's to take it out because it's a little bit off to begin with. But the more time that you're able to generate pressure for you to spend time in their zone, it's going to pay off dividends for you, because that's just forcing the team not only to play a tough game, but a game they don't want to play. And when you're agitating people, they're more likely to take penalties. They're more likely to maybe be a little bit late on their line change. You know how deadly the Golden Knights this year have been in the second period. Oh, we want to spread that out to the first one too, right? But that's what Cassidy's looking for, is that consistency and that reliability that's been robbed from this team for one reason or another, but mostly because of just injuries and the bills that are due from last season's unbelievable run.
What's pretty fascinating to me is, and you mentioned the fourth line and how it's the identity of this organization, and it's been for a long time. I mean, you go back to year one with Gerard Gallant, and you had a fourth line of Pierre Edward Belmar, who we're going to see tonight in a Kraken jersey, William Carrier, and Ryan Reeves. That was your fourth line. And the identity, like, Gallant would go out and start these guys.
Yep. And it's the top line. Doesn't matter who you're putting out there. Steven Stamkos, have fun with Ryan Reeves.
Yeah. And the one constant has been William Carrier.
Correct.
To that fourth line. The evolution from, and I would say higher skilled players, because I think, no disrespect to Pierre Edward Belmar, but I think Nick Waugh is an upgrade over Pierre Edward Belmar. I like Ryan Reeves because I like the toughness, but from a skill perspective, I think Keegan Kolesar is an upgrade over Ryan Reeves. Not necessarily in the fight department or in that part of the game, but from a pure skill set, I like what Keegan Kolesar brings over Ryan Reeves. And some people may disagree with me, and that's fine. You're certainly entitled to love Ryan Reeves. I like Ryan Reeves. I like the person. I think he's got a great personality, good locker room.
Right. You can like them both, but if you have to pick one to play on this hockey team.
Right. So we start out with that being the identity of the team. You still have that fourth line as the identity of the team, but now you have a much higher skilled fourth line. Not a fourth line that's going out there to smash the other team, or we saw when they, you know, were calling themselves the meat grinders. You now have a fourth line that has the potential to go out there and not only score goals, but control the puck in the offensive zone, because you have a center like Nick Waugh, who has shown that he's capable of playing that second or first center if you need him. Like, the versatility of Nick Waugh, you would never put Pierre Edward Belmar to play with Ivan Barbashev or Jonathan Marchessault. But you could do that with Nick Waugh. Now Nick comes home. He's going to be comfortable when William Carrier comes back. And I think that's really when we start to see the butterfly cocoon come out of the cocoon for this fourth line, because the transition, what they, everything they've gone through this year of having the role guys in and out, Jonas Rombierg, Byron Fraze, that will be done, you hope, and you've got that stability of having your comfort fourth line, because these guys are so good at what they do. I say it all the time, it's the best fourth line in hockey. Hard to argue against that just because of how good, and you know, I'm sure there's guys in other markets who say they have the best fourth line in hockey.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. But here, based on what we see night in, night out, it's really hard to argue against this fourth line being the best at what they do.
Yeah, and I'm excited to see it reunited when they get the chance. And you're right about the Paul Cotter versatility, because, you know, obviously Carrier comes back. He'll slot in with Waugh, Kolesar. They'll kick Cotter. And if you're asking me right now who's the odd man out, what's Carrier comes back in, that's Dorofeev. And so I would bump Cotter up and put him with Ammo and Carlson. And then obviously you have Stevie and Howden and Mantha, and then Barbie and Eichel and Marshy. And, you know, there's consistency is the biggest thing. And the simpler the hockey you can play, the more you can let the game come to you, I think the better off this team is going to be, especially with the Kraken, who obviously haven't really found a lot of consistent play themselves this year. It's kind of like two wins, one loss, two wins, one loss, two losses, one win. But they've certainly played better in the last handful of games than the Golden Knights have. And so you're just trying to build off of any sort of spark. And in terms of that versatility that Cassidy was talking about, in terms of the Howden, Stevenson, Mantha line, where it's like, yeah, you can get going with your feet, but you also could hit yourself into some space too. And so the more options at the disposal of these players, the better, and the quicker they're going to settle back into their game, because time is running out, and there is a reality that exists where they don't figure it out.
Yeah.
And so it's time is of the essence, and pressure is going to be very high. And this is where Bruce Cassidy's really earning it, right?
Yeah.
You got to find a way to get it out of these guys, and these guys got to find a way to get it out of themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you mentioned that the goalies for the Kraken, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I know.
I'm surprised Grubauer has come out as hot as he has, because Joey Decord was playing so well. And that's where it's like, all right, you have to answer the call. You have to, because if he looks like he does, then you go out there, even though it's unfair to hold, you know, somebody to a high standard coming off from injury, you allow them that time to work through it. But if it doesn't happen quickly, people start asking questions. And so luckily Grubauer's at a favorable number. I think he's at 4.9. But that's goalies steal souls all the time.
He's a Stanley Cup champion.
He is multiple
time Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah, technically yes.
He was the number two with the Capitals.
Technically yes.
Started that playoff run for the Capitals. They lost the first two games.
Yep.
And then Barry Trotz yanked him and put Braden Holtby in, and fortunately the rest is history for those of us here who were on that magic ride year one. But you know, Grubauer is, you know, he's a guy who, he's going to be in net tonight. You heard John Forslund talk about how good he's been the last dozen or so starts. And look, this is, I think the Golden Knights are a better team, but this is a game where they're going to have to play their absolute best, because if not, they could be looking at a 6-point gap.
Oh.
When the night ends tonight.
Yeah, you got to get to the inside. And the thing about Philip Grubauer is, too, is that if you are able to kind of set up shop in front of the net, like sometimes defensemen will allow you closer than what you would typically anticipate, but he'll back up a bit. He'll cede ground. And so the Golden Knights have struggled to maintain an interior. I mean, they've struggled to maintain a zone. And so, like, of course, the interior is another layer entirely to ask. But if they're able to get off to a good start early, and maybe even they're the ones that are first on the board, just like they were the other night. But that start against the Red Wings, things weren't going that well until the goal kind of happened. The goal woke them up. You're like, oh, yeah, we actually know how to do this. Like, we have a lead. What is this? But in terms of being ready without having to have, you know, a catalyst that a goal provides, I think that's kind of an old habit that's been with this team, where so much of their confidence is derived from their ability to produce on the score sheet, when hockey's best sustainably played, when you're getting those good vibes from a solid forecheck, from winning a 50-50 battle, from collecting the puck cleanly along the boards. Like, there's these little fundamental things that have been uncharacteristically falling through with this team. And so that's where I would like them to focus. And obviously when the goals seem to be a little bit too big for you, that you're not accomplishing what you would like, you need to break them down into smaller things. And so good breakout passes and great time changes are a good place to start. And hopefully you get the upper hand, whether that's physically or speed-wise, against the Seattle Kraken.
It's excellent stuff from Lindsey Brown. Chris Chapman here with you for another 35 minutes or so here on the BGK.
It's a great number of minutes.
Insider Show. Setting you up for Golden Knights and Kraken tonight. Big, big game in the Pacific Division. Golden Knights with an opportunity to, I would say, put almost an insurmountable lead between themselves and the Kraken. A lot could still happen final 17, 18 games. But this is, I think it's a must-win game for the Kraken. I think it's almost a must-win game for the Golden Knights. But we're going to set you up for that. One-timers coming up on the other side of the break. You're listening to the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
That's right.
Carlson left corner. Centered one-timer score!
It's time for One-Timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
All right. One-timers brought to you by Paul Pata. Not about the injury. It's about the recovery. And, you know, there are a couple different things that I put down in the notes here. But I want to start here, Lindsey, because the Islanders have caught fire. Now, they did lose their last game, but they had won six straight previous to that. So winners of six of their last seven. They have now caught the Detroit Red Wings in terms of points. Red Wings in action tonight. They are getting blasted by the Buffalo Sabres. 6-2 Detroit, who we just saw Saturday, they have lost five straight. Unless they are able to come back in this one, it's going to be six straight losses for them. The funny thing is they had won five straight previous to that. So talk about a streaky
team. Hot and cold, Katy Perry.
But the Islanders now level with the Red Wings on points. Are you buying the resurgent Islanders with Patrick Waugh as a legit playoff team, or are the Red Wings going to get this figured out?
I'll buy on the Islanders simply because of the experience in that room and for like the hyper-conservative approach that they have to hockey under Lou Lamoriello, as every team does. No beards. I think it's offset by Patrick Waugh and kind of his antics and everything, so I'm intrigued by the slight change in the witch's brew. Let's just say it's a little bit more volatile there, and so you know, this is a team that lost 2-1 in Game 7 to the eventual back-to-back Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning just a few years ago, and so they have a lot of bones left from that, and so I'd pick that over the upstart Red Wings, who I think are still just a tad early, but next year, look out.
Yeah, and Buffalo just adds another one. They lead 7-2 6 minutes ago in the second period. You know, the funny thing is I didn't include Buffalo on my list here because they're a bit back. But they win tonight. They close the gap a little bit more on both of those teams. And then they play the Islanders on Thursday. So a win there could kind of put Buffalo maybe into this conversation. I think a little too late for the Sabres.
Well, they did trade their captain, so I don't think that's really the intention. Yeah, I could be like, I guess we're here, but we approached this whole thing as if we weren't going to be.
So the Lightning and the Flyers sit with 74, the Red Wings and Islanders at 72. One of those teams is going to miss the playoffs. Three of them will make it. So if I have to ask you right now, which of those four teams will miss the playoffs in the East?
Ooh. I'll pick the Flyers. Simply
really?
Because they're the Flyers, yeah.
Flyers right now tied with San Jose, second period. So not a team that you would expect, the Philadelphia Flyers. Of course, they are without John Tortorella.
It's hard for me to root against them because they signed Nick Seeler to such a sweet deal, and I'm really happy for him. So they have awful jerseys, though.
The Flyers?
Gross.
I hate orange.
And the nameplates are disgusting. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I'm not
use
on
the
board.
Same color.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I don't like that either. My cousin, big Philadelphia Flyer fan, he might
be
at the
game tonight. It's an unfortunate character flaw in your blood.
Yeah, I've told them multiple times. You know, the funny thing is Dad was a Ranger fan. I was a Devil fan. And like,
at least you're sufferable by being a Devils fan.
Like,
the other two, I'm not sure.
Why Philadelphia? Come on, man.
Yeah, true.
Speaking of the New York Rangers, Matt Rempe took a run at Jonas Siegenthaler last night of the Devils. High elbow to the head, knocked Siegenthaler out of the game. He got tossed today, comes down, he will serve a four-game suspension. Rempe finding himself on the wrong side of these in such a short amount of time. I feel like he's only been up in the league about a month, and he's always on, I'd say, the wrong end of these things. Is there concern for you that Matt Rempe is going to seriously injure someone or himself, and how do you deter it?
I mean, everybody has the ability to exert deadly force on the hockey arena. I'll just let you know right now. It doesn't matter if you're 7'4" or 5", whatever. You're literally got boots with knives on, and people are flying around at a high rate. He has to learn, and he, like, I don't think he just showed up as this is the first time he's ever been the tallest kid in class, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to have a different level of awareness when you have that type of size advantage, and so he has to learn that to stay at this level, but he kind of just fights. And so that's where I worry about him. I worry about him in the rate in which he's taking those bouts. And then obviously if he's not someone that can fundamentally control himself in the way that is required at this level, just like anybody else, then I have big questions. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not liking what I'm seeing from Matt Rempe. Like, we've seen big guys, but they've had some skill, and they've been able to, like,
meh.
I mean, like, I know when Zdeno Chara started his career, he was a brute. But nobody was going to drop the gloves with Zdeno Chara.
Right.
As he grew as a hockey player, he grew into a hockey player. Like, he wasn't out there gooning it up, and, you know, he kind of eliminated that from his game. Matt Rempe, I don't think he's got the skill set to be in the NHL other than this goon kind of role. I don't like what I've seen. I think there's got to be, look, four-game suspension. I have a feeling this is his first offense, right? It's the first time he's been suspended.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we're going to see a guy like Tom Wilson has mellowed out a bit over the years, but Tom Wilson
a decade and a half to mellow. Rempe just got here,
but
and we're holding
Wilson's
him to the same standard.
A gifted player, I think. Like I don't see Rempe growing into...
Yeah, he's
into,
not Brad Marchand, obviously.
Yeah, like, but Marchand not exactly the biggest guy either.
Right,
but,
well, and here's the thing. The best way to utilize a big person besides having them dusted up is by putting them in front of the net, and they're not going to do that because they have Chris Kreider, who's one of the best net front presences ever. It's there's not a room for diversification of his skill set, because look at their roster. He's there for a reason, and he's going to try to find a way to stay in the league one way or another.
I don't foresee this being a long career in the NHL for Matt Rempe.
Maybe not.
I mean, I
just worry about his future.
Because, like, even when you watch these fights, he's not exactly winning them.
Well, and they're lasting a long time, and he's taking several blows.
What I don't like is the way he's been slammed to the ice after these fights, because, as I said,
he's bordering on sacrificial lamb territory.
Yeah, not a good look right now.
No.
So, Anson Carter, of course, we know him from television. He was a guy who played in the league. He is now leading a group of investors who want to bring the NHL back to Atlanta. Now, we've heard rumblings of expansion. Maybe Salt Lake. Maybe the Coyotes move to Houston. Maybe they move to Salt Lake. But Anson Carter wants to bring the NHL back to Atlanta. Now, the NHL has failed twice in Atlanta. We've seen the Atlanta Flames move to Calgary.
You know who doesn't accept failure? Gary Bettman.
That's true. As we've seen with the Arizona Coyotes.
Case in point.
Now, I don't think Atlanta's a good idea, because I think there's other markets that... I don't know if there's another Canadian market.
Why would you go down to the South where they just had this huge resurgence into fandom with the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning? Like, you want to go cut into that? What's the point?
That's it. And you've got the Carolina Hurricanes not too far away. You've got the Nashville Predators not too far away. Like, I don't know if what television market or who claims Atlanta as their television market. If I'm the owner of that team, I don't want hockey in Atlanta. I would fight it tooth and nail. And if I'm the other owners, I'm looking around saying, wait a minute, we have Houston, we have Salt Lake City, who Salt Lake is a hugely growing market in terms of television, people moving there. It's one of the fastest growing cities in America. It's a winter town. We've had the Winter Olympics in
for
Salt Lake
City. For like five
City.
More years, then it's over.
Yeah, well,
the lake's drying up.
That's and they're trying to get creative with ways to create snow for those mountains, because anyone who's skied in Utah knows.
Is this a sustainable plan? Because we don't even really have our business figured out here with the league as it is. It's the same thing with the WNBA. It's like you're not even taking care of the things that are already actually here.
Yeah, and that's
you're,
the thing.
You're saving these hypotheticals or you're expanding to the business without actually having the stability to support it. I say move teams, fine.
Right.
Expanding,
yeah.
No point. You're still in revenue sharing.
Yeah.
And this league... since there's been so much growth in revenue and salary cap in the last 6 years, you just have to attack the market. They're getting cocky because of the success of the Vegas Golden Knights, of the Seattle Kraken. But here's the deal. There's not the same thirst for hockey as there is for other sports. And even the other sports have limitations. How many sports teams have popped up in this town in the last 4 years?
Well,
you got your high professionals and your lower levels and all these other things, but there's only so many dollars in this economy right now. And so I wouldn't play that game right now if I were the NHL, but Gary knows how to make sure that this game stays in a good state, for sure.
I don't think the league needs to expand.
No.
I think there's a couple teams that could potentially move. Winnipeg, of course, they're having struggles attendance-wise. And I think the issue with Winnipeg is they don't have the high-dollar corporate accounts that some of these other cities do.
Like I've been to, people are pinching pennies right now.
Yeah,
hard,
and look,
everywhere.
I think in terms of fans, Winnipeg is a great hockey market. But Gary Bettman wants the suites. He wants them filled. He wants corporate dollars, which is why Arizona is such a head scratcher, because they're playing in a 5,000 seat arena. Look, Coyotes aren't going to make the playoffs. But what the hell do you do if the Coyotes next year make the playoffs? You're not going to play games in that tiny rink.
And
I don't know, but I'm with you. I don't think expansion is the way to go. I think there's other markets that you could. First of all, I think 32 is a great number of teams. I don't think any more than that.
Right.
And
don't get greedy. This is all for expansion fee. This is what this is for.
You're going to water down the league.
Correct.
Because you already have teams right now that are struggling in terms of not attendance, but in terms of the product that they're putting on the ice.
Yeah.
Chicago Blackhawks. Look, I understand that they got Connor Bedard.
They're about to get another number one overall pick.
But they're still a long way away from being a highly competitive team. Columbus, a long way away.
Mm-hmm.
San Jose, they got even further away at the trade deadline by trading Tomas Hertl from being a competitive team.
Stop acting like a cherry-picking wing that won't even enter into your defensive zone. Earn it the hard way. Sustainable growth. Don't expand until you have a robust financial outlook for the rest of your teams.
So if one of these teams moves, who do you think would be the best market? Because I think Houston is a market that's thirsty for another major league.
But Salt Lake
team.
Doesn't have like anything besides
the Jazz.
Like they would go nuts there for that. And that's where I think there's value more in untapped markets than ones that have already been visited two or three times before, like Atlanta. And Houston had the Arrows, which was the AHL team for the Wild.
They did really
well.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Houston isn't a viable city, but, I mean, I'd rather go to Utah. But that's I don't want to go anywhere. I think it needs to be what it is for at least the next 10 years.
All right. Last one. Going to go down your alley. I know you're a big, big Thatcher Demko fan.
I am.
He's out week to week with a lower body injury. He's played a ton of hockey, 49 of the Canucks, 66 games.
Speaking of an unsustainable model.
Yeah, Casey DeSmith takes over now. Number one duties while Demko is injured. Should the Canucks panic?
Yes.
Like, legitimately.
Yeah, I'd be worried.
Or is this a good thing because you're going to get Demko some rest? You're comfortably in a playoff spot. I don't think anyone's going to catch them to knock them out of the playoffs.
Good thing goalies aren't touchy with injuries, right?
Yeah, well, that's the big question mark, right? Like, is it going to be in his
mind? It's not like he has a history either, right?
Yeah. Ooh.
And so I think that there's definitely room to be concerned. I'm concerned about their long-term health, too. I'm not sure about how they're putting together this team. But Thatcher Demko has been, like every other hockey team ever, if there's an unbelievable year that you have, it's usually probably because your goalie's playing out of their mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he's out, and if Casey DeSmith can just tread water, I mean, they have such a lead built up. But I worry about the reintegration of Thatcher Demko and if he will feel pressure to push if there is not as quick of a recovery, because these things can be touchy. I'm not sure what lower body means, but I know about four things that I would hope it would not mean. even if it's not like a major injury, because those things, they need rest, and it's different when it's active rest versus actual rest.
Yeah, Canucks with 42 wins on the season, 10-point lead over the Edmonton Oilers, Edmonton with three games in hand. So you're right. If they can tread water, they'll be okay. They'll win that division.
Yeah.
Obviously.
We'll see in the playoffs. I got questions with him playing in the playoffs.
And
about
I think a lot of people do, myself, yeah. Ryan Wallace.
Prove
included.
It.
Yeah. That is your one-timers for Tuesday, March the 12th. Kind of weird, but catching up with Chapman is next here on the VGK Insider Show.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
All right, so weird catching up with Chapman after I've just filled in for...
We've been up.
Yeah. We've been up with Chapman all day. But I want to give a shout-out to the UNLV hockey team. They are playing for a national championship for club hockey teams tonight.
They're men's team, right?
Yeah, men's team. They're taking on Adrian College. Puck will drop. It says 8 p.m. Central Time, so I'm guessing about 8 minutes or so. I'll keep you updated to that.
The butterfly is going right now, I can tell you that.
Yeah. So very, very cool stuff. Like hockey in this community has really taken off. We've seen junior teams go and play in major tournaments in Quebec. Mm-hmm. We see Jonathan Marchessault's son at intermission.
His second born. He's five.
The kid's
playing with eight-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like, I used to coach hockey people. That's not normal. He was the best skater out there besides, like, the 70-whatever defenseman who kept rushing it from the one end. But we're not breaking down that game. No, that kid's going to be a talent. I'll mark it right now.
Yeah. So it's really incredible to see because, like, when I got here, there was – I had just missed the Thunder. I moved here after the Las Vegas Thunder, but I was here for the Wranglers. And, you know, like, the thing is, the Wranglers used to draw really well for an ECHL team. Those games were so much fun. So there's always been a thirst in this city for the sport, which is why I laugh when people are always kind of knock it. They're like, Las Vegas isn't a hockey town. It's like, you don't know anything about Las Vegas when you say that. We have so many people who moved here from hockey towns that... I mean, I have friends from Philadelphia. I have friends from Michigan.
Right. They just don't want to admit that you can play their beautiful game in a place that isn't as miserable to live.
It's gatekeeping at the highest order. But that is going to do it for us here on the VGK Insider Show. Ryan Wallace, hopefully back tomorrow. But Lindsay, thank you.
Feel better, Ryan.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
Anytime. You know, one of my favorite people.
Aww.
Not just in the business, but in the world.
Back to you, babe.
I always love talking with you.
Yeah, it's a great time. Thank you. Thanks to Bobby.
Yeah, thanks to Bobby back in the studio. Thanks to John Forslund. Great stuff with him. Kraken and Golden Knights. Chris Chapman, Lindsey Brown, we are here at Sierra Gold. I will be here for the pregame show, postgame show, and the intermission reports. Golden Knights and Kraken just on the other side of this break. Thanks for listening. Drive safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody.